ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Another government shutdown averted, the Senate passing a spending plan to keep key federal agencies open. Lawmakers will have to pass a second plan to fund the rest of the government by March 22nd. Three incidents in 2 days for United Airlines. On Thursday, a plane lost a tire on takeoff. Then early Friday, Mike Allard was on board a plane that skidded off a runway in Texas.
It seemed like the plane was trying to is going a little too fast and just slid off.
Then later Friday, a United plane made an emergency landing in L.A. over a hydraulics issue. Two National Guard members and a Border Patrol agent are dead after a helicopter crash on the U.S. southern border, a cause under investigation. Beijing continuing its crackdown on Hong Kong, lawmakers proposing legislation that would threaten life sentences for anyone who endangers national security, comes after China's already cracked down on pro-democracy activists and newspapers. This is ABC News. A guilty plea from an Idaho man on federal charges for allegedly shooting at a hydroelectric power station.
The power plant shooting happened on June 8th and 9th of last year at Idaho's Hells Canyon Dam and Brownlee Dam power stations, which provide electricity to areas in Washington State, Idaho, and Oregon. Friday, 59-year-old Randy Vail admitted that he shot the plants, causing upwards of $500,000 in damage and loss of power production from both facilities. Vail caught after the second incident on his motorcycle following a brief chase, found with large bolt cutters, rifles, and ammunition. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Under regulatory pressure, Apple reversing course and clearing the way for video game maker Epic Games to set up an alternative store for iPhone apps in Europe. The about-face, which was disclosed Friday, is the latest twist in a bitter fight between Apple and Epic Games, which makes Fortnite. Apple had exclusive control over apps on its platform, and it makes a cut of sales through the apps. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There aren't enough nurses in Wisconsin, but nursing instructors are warning about one particular nursing school trying to get established here. More from Mike Moan.
The Arizona College of Nursing faces scrutiny in other states over regulatory issues and claims that at least too many students saddled with debt and no career pathway. Barbara Nichols with the Wisconsin Center for Nursing encourages aspiring nurses to prioritize schools with an established track record. She says the trouble is those schools don't have enough instructors.
You can make more money working as a nurse practitioner with your master's or doctorate than teaching.
She says they hope to soon see results from a Wisconsin initiative, which started 3 years ago, that offers loan forgiveness for nurses who take on teaching roles. Leaders at Arizona College of Nursing argue the educational system should provide better support to these students, such as mentorship programs on campus. While obtaining a nursing degree does require some clinical training, she notes there is some flexibility for other required courses.
The schools have a combination of in-person as well as online, and that's the best. So I think you need to look for those schools that provide theory in terms of online, and then make sure they have good clinical placements.
And Nichols feels it's better to wait for an opening at a long-standing accredited program, arguing they're better suited to provide a quality nursing education. And for students who wouldn't have trouble temporarily relocating, she says it's worth it to explore programs in neighboring states. Wisconsin is graduating around 3,000 nurses each year, at least 2,000 short of what's needed. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome Jeopardy Master and Green Bay's own Ben Chan. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A few sprinkles or flurries today, mostly sunny otherwise. Highs near 42 with a northwest wind up to 20 miles per hour. Breezy northwest winds tonight, mostly clear, 26. Sunday, sunshine, a high near 46. Much warmer Monday, sunshine and 58.
Currently 33 degrees.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh with our outstanding producer, the fastest fingers in the West on the keyboard, Mr. Aaron Zommers, along with us answering your phone calls as well. It is 6 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Here in the Civic Media Radio Network across Wisconsin and on the Civic Media app. It is Friday, TGIF, March 8th, 2024. Breaking down the State of the Union last night, President Biden giving the speech on the floor of the House of Representatives. Thanks so much to our friend and colleague, Mr. Trygve Olsen, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project, for making a special effort and being here on a Friday. Mr. Zommers, it's a twofer for Trygve.
Absolutely. You got a double dose of Trygve this week.
And the better, all the better for it, you understand. That's exactly what we need. So we appreciate him taking the time to be here. We're going to talk a little bit more in this hour about the State of the Union. And then we're going to talk also, and timely indeed, as the great Mike Lucas is fond of saying, the Associated Press reporting this morning, another burst of hiring shows off the resilience of the U.S. job market. Right on cue, as it turns out. The Republicans set this up perfect, you understand. Mike Johnson was trying to stick it to Biden and saying we're going to hold off the State of the Union until later on in the year. Normally, it's the end of January, first part of February. I said a couple of days ago, I said, this is going to come back to bite them, the Republicans. Because all they did was put this in after the Super Tuesday, and then, boom, they're kicking off the campaign. Also, welcome in News Director Terry Bell. How are you doing, Terry?
To say, don't mind me. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Terry, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
He's doing well. Always great to have a guest appearance by Terry Bell. What?
You're like Bob Hope.
You're like, it's like the old U.S. Hole show, yeah. God love you. Good to have you here. Anyway, we're going to talk about the economy a little bit later on this hour and also get to an interview from Barry Alvarez. He's talking to the former athletic director of the Wisconsin Badger sports program. Barry Alvarez speaking out on name, image, and likeness deals for college. And then from our own Civic Media, our own Jimmy Cuska wrote a great story. Could NIL be coming to Wisconsin high school athletes? And I'll tell you why this is a ridiculously terrible idea. Get your phone calls as well. Right now, though, at 9 past the hour of 1 o'clock, wanted to go back to a couple more things on the State of the Union from last night. I thought Joe Biden hit it out of the park. I thought he hit on a lot of things that most Wisconsinites could agree upon. One of those was the infrastructure bill. I would argue the most successful piece of legislation since Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. And it was all put together with the help of Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, which I think, for my money, has been the most successful secretary in Biden's cabinet thus far. And President Biden, remember, President Biden was here a month or so ago. We were up in Superior. We covered it when the president came to Wisconsin to Superior to announce this $1 billion as part of the infrastructure deal to bring a brand new bridge connecting Superior in Wisconsin to Duluth in Minnesota. Here was the president last night in the State of the Union talking about infrastructure.
And thanks to our bipartisan infrastructure law, 46,000 new projects have been announced all across your communities. And by the way, I noticed some of you strongly voted against it, or they're cheering on that money coming in. I like it. I'm with you. If any of you don't want that money in your district, just let me know. Modernize our roads and...
I thought that was fantastic. He called it right out because, of course, our very own toxic Tom Tiffany, Republican congressman from northern Wisconsin, was one of those people who voted against the infrastructure bill but ended up getting $1 billion of it in Superior in his own district.
Oh, yeah. It's people like – this is just like – this is a live version of the tweets that I've seen a lot of where people like Tom Tiffany will put out a tweet and be like, hey, we're super grateful to have this – infrastructure money in our community and replace this bridge. And then the community notes on it will be like, Tom Tiffany voted against this bill repeatedly.
Yeah. They love it. They love the money. They know it's helping their district, but they can't upset the Trumpster or they know they'll get primaried. And so they do what the Trumpster wants and votes against what helps their own people and their own district. And I thought it was great the way that Joe Biden just called him out, just kind of matter-of-factly off the cuff and said, hey, if you don't want the money, let me know. We can put it somewhere else. we talked about the Republican response last night. This Senator Britt from Alabama, speaking of, backwards folks in this Senator Britt, who gave this bizarre Republican response. And again, I've been watching these things for 40 years as a former Republican until 2011 as a political strategist, as a person who's run campaigns. These replies are never easy. I've helped write them for former bosses. My former boss was the Senate Majority Leader, and he had to give the Republican response to then Democratic Governor Jim Doyle, State of the State. And what we did, we decided to do something different and unique. We started, I think we were one of the first I ever know about it, and now it's kind of common. We gave what we called a pre-buttle. So instead, because you kind of get what the governor or the president's going to say before it's public, the opposition, you're just allowed that courtesy, and you kind of know anyway. And so we put together a pre-buttle, and we put it out there actually before the governor gave his State of the State. It was, something unique and a little gimmicky, but, it worked. So I understand how tough these things are to write, but usually in a rebuttal or a pre-buttal to the governor or the president, you try to find one or two things to say, well, look, we can work with the governor or the president on this. There are certain things that unite all of us, and this is what we can agree upon. But here are two or three things that we think we should do differently. But last night, Senator Britt, it was a bizarre, bizarre Republican response from her kitchen table where she was giving this melodramatic response, and one texter off the text line here at WMDX texted in and said, quote, I watched the State of the Union last night, and I was waiting for the Alabama senator to start singing Don't Cry for Me, Alabama. I'm sure that Madonna would have been impressed.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is, I never left you. All through my wild days, my mad existence, I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance.
We are. This is fantastic. This is fantastic. I don't know who it was that texted that in, but God love you and thank you. We're going to work up some stuff around that.
Yeah, definitely.
It could not be more spot on. I mean, absolutely.
And we stand with you. I know you're frustrated.
That's not AI. That's not cut up. That's not spliced. That was her actual speech. That was a clip for her actual speech.
And her facial expression is so creepy. It's just weird.
It's super creepy. Dana from La Crosse listening in on the Eagle up there, the Eagle, WXCL, saying, quote, she looked like a high schooler trying out for the drama club, unquote. Badly, she says.
Well, it's just like what Trigby said, where it's somewhere, the acting on it was somewhere in between a porn star and a high school drama.
That was really good. That was really, really good. If you still want to share your thoughts on the State of the Union last night, appreciate your calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the old Civic Media app. If you don't have it, pardon me, download it today on your Apple or Android device. It is free. It takes less than a minute. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app, get it today if you're Apple or Android device. So almost on cue, after the president starts touting the economy, and remember where we, and the Republicans, of course, yesterday said, to before the president spoke, we're going to keep asking people, Americans, were you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And of course, 4 years ago, we were in the opening innings of the pandemic. Businesses shuttering. Couldn't buy toilet paper, much fewer groceries on the shelves, gas prices going up, people isolated, people having extraordinary mental health crises, healthcare workers being overwhelmed, refrigerator trucks and parking lots of hospitals as mobile morgues due to COVID because the president didn't take it seriously at first at the time, President Trump. That's where we were 4 years ago. Compared to where we are today. And here's where we are today on the economy from the Associated Press. America's employers delivered another healthy month of hiring in February, adding a surprising 275,000 jobs. And again, showcasing the U.S. economy's resilience in the face of higher interest rates. Last month's job growth market, an increase from a revised gain of 229,000 jobs in January. At the same time, the unemployment rate has ticked up about 0.2 point in February to 3.9%. Now, look, anything under 4%, you're still absolutely fine. There's a certain amount of unemployment. If you had zero, that would mean that every single person had a job, and you know, it's that in and of itself would almost be a sign of an unhealthy economy to have unemployment at zero. On with the story here, though. That was the highest rate in 2 years. It is still low by historic standards. So that's the important part here. It marked the 25th straight month in which the jobless rate has remained below 4%, the longest such streak since the 1960s. Let me say this again. Unemployment now at 3.9% as of today, the new report shows, marking the 25th straight month in which the jobless rate has remained below 4%, the longest such streak since the 1960s. Yet despite sharply lower inflation, a healthy job market, and a record high stock market, let me say that again, despite sharply lower inflation, a healthy job market, and a record high stock market, many Americans say they're unhappy with the economy, a sentiment that is sure to weigh on President Joe Biden's bid for re-election. Many voters blame Biden for the surge in consumer prices that began in 2021, though inflationary pressures have significantly eased. Average prices remain about 17% above where they stood 3 years ago due to the pandemic. What are your feelings on this economy that seems to be roaring? Are you feeling it? Give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
how to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Back to the Civic Media Radio Network, 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Sommers, is that for Trigvi Olsen there?
Well, yeah, it's TGIF by Katy Perry because it's Friday.
A little Katy Perry. The great song for a Friday. By the way, TGIF, thank you, Mr. Sommers. Thanks for all of you for tuning in to the show, 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on the Civic Media Radio Network. This story in the Associated Press, right on cue. America's employers delivered another healthy month of hiring in February, adding a surprising 275,000 jobs, and again showcasing the U.S. economy's resilience in the face of high interest rates. According to the Associated Press, the latest figures reflected the job market's sustained ability to withstand the 11 rate hikes the Fed imposed on its drive against inflation, which made borrowing much costlier for households and businesses. Employers have continued to hire briskly to meet steady demand for consumers across the economy. So, according to the Associated Press, the February figures will likely make Fed officials more comfortable about cutting interest rates sometime in the coming months. With December and January job gains revised sharply down, wage growth easing, and unemployment rates up, the Fed's policymakers aren't likely to worry about an overheating of the economy. So if you break that down, what does that actually mean? It means that the Biden administration has played this just about right. We've said it before. If you compare it to other democracies around the world, major countries, the inflation rate in the United States has come down the quickest in the world. And now jobs, more people are getting hired, unprecedented job numbers. The economy is roaring. And yes, I get it. Some people are saying that it's still costing too much for groceries or whatnot. But I repeat again what we've been saying. As someone who was working, a manager in retail, before getting back into radio here, a lot of these companies, a lot of these corporations took and are still taking advantage of the pandemic situation. Because we know that some price increases and shortages were in fact due to the fact that goods are being made overseas. And because of the pandemic, it was difficult to get those goods here. That meant that shelves were bare or certainly down in inventory, and it meant that prices went up. There are other corporations who already had inventory in their warehouses on U.S. soil, or in some cases, the product is made here, and they simply use the pandemic and COVID to say, well, you know, prices are going up. And so they marked up inventory they already had. Why? Because they could. And now that things are getting better, retailers, businesses are not going to suddenly say, well, okay, we'll just mark everything back down to where it was. No, because people kind of say, well, okay, I guess that's how much it costs now. So what I'm saying is a lot of this, that the prices that we're paying at grocery stores and for retail goods, part of that is due to the pandemic. Part of that is due to retailers and corporations taking advantage of the situation. But if you look at the economy in terms of the stock market, if you look at the economy in terms of inflation, if you look at the economy in terms of jobs being created, it could not be better given all the circumstances. And now here we hear the reporting of the Associated Press. It appears that the Fed may be looking at bringing interest rates back down. May. Don't make any, I'm not a financial advisor, so don't make any decisions based on what I say. But it's observational. And again, I think that last night is just a great indication where Republicans are going to have a very difficult time trying to say, how are we going to try to pigeonhole President Biden moving into the general election cycle now? You clearly can't take that speech and say, well, he has, you know, some sort of dementia or Alzheimer's or he's cognitively impaired. A reasonable person can't take a look at last night's speech and come away with that. You can't. And as I said before, now they're making up this goofy lies about, oh my gosh, is he on amphetamines or coke or what? I mean, this is what they're saying over at Fox and OWN and Newsmax. Because they're trying to find some way to take down a good person. Someone who's compassionate, somebody who's empathetic, someone who wants to believe in the best of Americans, not the worst of Americans, someone who wants to unite us and not divide us. I think Joe Biden's general election is off to a great start. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you, 855-75-CIVIC. On the old text line or the call line, I guess you'd say. You could also text us as well on the Civic Media app. Want to start off here. We're going to get into it more after a news update here at the bottom of the hour. But BadgerExtra.com had a great story, great interview with former Wisconsin Athletic Director Barry Alvarez, who is speaking out on name, image, and likeness for college athletes. And incidentally, I think part of the reason they got this story, and it's funny, it's one of these things that's funny, but it's not. A couple of days ago, I woke up to a really weird Twitter feed, and I'm not sure exactly who started this, and there's some speculation it was Ohio State fans, because they're the ones that really perpetuated it online. Somebody had the audacity to start the rumor that Barry Alvarez had died, and there's all these rest in peace, Barry, and all this, and then it turns out that legit reporters, like I believe it's Cole Bartholomew of the State Journal and Jeff Patricus of the Journal Sentinel and others, like called up Chris McIntosh, the current athletic director at Wisconsin, and found out that was just a complete lie and fabrication started online. In fact, Barry Alvarez's daughter tweeted out yesterday morning. She said, I can attest that he is very much alive. I just had dinner with him last night. So I think Barry wanted to prove he was still alive, and so he's done a couple of interviews here in the last 24 hours or so, and one of them was with BadgerExtra.com, and talking about name, image, and likeness, all right? This is the thing that started a couple of years ago where it allows college players to do a deal, a sponsorship, be it a car dealership, be it, you know, a restaurant, be it a clothing brand like Nike or somebody, and say, hey, I could get product by following you or promoting you on my social follows, or I'm just going to get paid out for endorsing your product. And what it part of that stemmed, by the way, from right here in Wisconsin several years ago, when then Nigel Hayes, one of the star players on the 14-15 Badger men's basketball team, when College Game Day was in town from ESPN for football, and he held up this sign saying something about poor college athlete, please send money for food, and brought awareness to a lot of these athletes at the time were actually very poor because of the demands of academics and athletics. They didn't have time to get a job. And so that's really what started the lawsuit that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and allowed players to get name, image, and likeness money. Well, now, could it spread to the Wisconsin high school system? We'll talk about all that, take your phone calls and more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Your news starts now.
Do it all again.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Another government shutdown averted, the Senate passing a spending plan to keep key federal agencies open. Lawmakers will have to pass a second plan to fund the rest of the government by March 22nd. Three incidents in 2 days for United Airlines. On Thursday, a plane lost a tire on takeoff. Then early Friday, Mike Allard was on board a plane that skidded off a runway in Texas.
It seemed like the plane was trying to is going a little too fast and just slid off.
Then later Friday, a United plane made an emergency landing in L.A. over a hydraulics issue. Two National Guard members and a Border Patrol agent are dead after a helicopter crash on the U.S. southern border, a cause under investigation. Beijing continuing its crackdown on Hong Kong, lawmakers proposing legislation that would threaten life sentences for anyone who endangers national security, comes after China's already cracked down on pro-democracy activists and newspapers. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Bucks lose in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lakers were without LeBron James due to a sore ankle, but still managed to beat the Bucks 123-122. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard's shot blocked at the buzzer. Coverage on ESPN.
He'll come off a Giannis screen and get it near midcourt with 5 seconds. Lillard, step back. And now two straight losses for the Bucks after winning six in a row out of the All-Star break.
College hockey. The Badgers men's team fell 3-1 to Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament. Game two tonight, 6 p.m. at the Kohl Center. Up in Minnesota, the Badgers women's team with a win over the Gophers, 4-3 in overtime.
Now a wraparound attempt. Rebound attempt. They score! And it's Lacey Eden winning it for Wisconsin in overtime.
Coverage on the Big Ten Network. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A few sprinkles or flurries today, mostly sunny otherwise. Highs near 42 with a northwest wind up to 20 miles per hour. Breezy northwest winds tonight, mostly clear, 26. Sunday, sunshine, a high near 46. Much warmer Monday, sunshine and 58.
Right now, 31 degrees.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Mino and the Mayor. We got a message on Facebook from Nicholas who says air fryers are perfect for leftover pizza.
There you go.
I bet that would work.
I have an air fryer.
I've got one. I'm doing that.
Yes.
Another thing I'm going to do, I'm going to use my dehumidifier and I'm going to make jerky.
It's not a dehumidifier, John.
What is it again?
Dehydrator.
That's what it is. All right. Now we can go to break.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday morning, 6 till 9. On the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW and Oshkosh Air Support, WIS.
And on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Where the fans own the team. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tunnelball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. That is the incomparable University of Wisconsin Marching Band, that recording under the direction of the incomparable former director for 50 years, Michael Lecrone, who, of course, it was revealed on this program by the wonderful Doug Moe, has been writing a book, a biography of sorts, with Mike Lecrone. Looking forward to reading that and looking forward to having them on the program, hopefully here in the future. Playing a little, if you want to be a Badger, come along with me. For those watching on the stream, I have my Wisconsin Badger hoodie on today. Went to the game last night. Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team got back on the winning track. Great senior night for Tyler Wall. Had a nice game. But really, it was some of the other players. A.J. Storr had a great game. Blackwell had a great game.
I missed it, and they won.
And McGee. McGee's been out with an ankle injury or a foot injury. He just lit the place up. I mean, his energy is just infectious on the court and off. So really, really happy that the Badgers got back on the winning streak. I think we have Purdue left, and then on to the Big Ten tournament, and then hopefully on to the NCAA tournament as well. You can hear that game. Of course, I was there, but I had my earbud in and listened to it on the Civic Media app. You can always listen to the Badger sports games via the Civic Media app. Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, the fine stations that carry that. So you can always listen to it on the Civic Media app as well. Well, and before the break here, I gave the story. With this story is printed in BadgerExtra.com, and former UW athletic director Barry Alvarez appeared yesterday on the Wildy and Tausch program on ESPN Wisconsin. So that's the credit where credit is due here. It says, add former University of Wisconsin athletic director Barry Alvarez to a growing number of folks who are worried about the future of college football. Alvarez said the college football's current model with name, image, and likeness money available to players and the transfer portal being so prevalent is, quote, unsustainable. Alvarez said, quote, it is out of control and unsustainable. On Wildy and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin, the paying of players, he says, is supposed to be illegal for coaches to use cash to endorse or to encourage players or recruit players. But that's exactly what's happening. And I just read the other day, a coach said, one of the coaches that resigned said, quote, it just got too much. I'm trying to raise money for a kid who hasn't played yet. He's going to make more money than me, unquote. Alvarez says it's just out of control, unsustainable. It's going to screw up college football. It's going to ruin college football as we know it, unquote. So that's what Barry Alvarez, he talks to a lot of people. He is revered for what he did at Wisconsin as a football coach and an athletic director, has been an advisor to the Big Ten Conference, has been part of the college football playoff selection committee, has been an analyst for Fox Sports. Barry Alvarez, probably one of the most connected people in college athletics in America. And this is what he's saying. In this article from BadgerExtra.com, Alvarez, who is 77, as we said before the break there, was on the show yesterday in part because on Wednesday morning, a rumor arose on Twitter that Alvarez had died, which was quickly debunked by Badger Extra reporters and others. College football has been grappling with the ramifications of NIL since college athletes were allowed to take payments for endorsements and appearances and the like since July of 2021. NIL payments being a part of the recruiting world was an inevitability, and the legality of the NCAA's ban on using name, image, likeness monies to entice recruits is the subject of an active lawsuit in Tennessee. Alvarez was asked about the possible solutions to find a manageable middle ground, And he suggested installing a commissioner of college football and separating the programs who have the budgets to and are willing to pay players more. Now, this is interesting. We've talked on Fridays to our very own Brady Ewing, who is a three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football, was the captain of the team along with Russell Wilson at that year, went to three Rose Bowls and spent 3 years in the NFL. And Brady has kind of alluded to this in his opinion, just one person's opinion, but he has said that he thinks basically a professional, almost like a Premier League or whatever, is coming from soccer, is coming to college football. Here's what Alvarez said yesterday on Wildy and Tausch on ESPN. Quote, you want to see what teams, pardon me, try this again, Todd, take two. Here's Alvarez's quote. You want to see what teams want to play, Alvarez said of how he'd fix the issue he sees. Quote, you got a group of guys that know football, former coaches from each league, and to see what direction they want to go. I don't mind stipends for players, paying players with limits. I know there's a lot of legal ramifications when you go that route, but I think that that horse is out of the barn. But get a group that wants to play big-time college football, that can afford it, and can agree upon the same rules, and then have someone that's there running the group that will enforce the rules that they put in place. Barry Alvarez went on to say, I hate to lose big-time college football, but you've got to have the haves and have-nots. But you've got the haves and have-nots. You've got somebody who can't do it, somebody that can. Some are out there raising money to pay players. It's just not sustainable. I just see the whole thing that's blowing up unless they have some drastic changes, unquote. Those are the words of former athletic director Barry Alvarez on what he thinks is coming to college football. And again, ironically, or not, I guess, but interestingly, this really all started in Wisconsin with former college men's basketball player Nigel Hayes making a very big deal on national television about this and joining a group of college players, men and women both, who said, as a D1 college athlete, I have to have a certain grade point average. And we are expected to go to tutoring. We have to keep our grades up. We are also expected, because we're on scholarship for our tuition, that we have to do whatever basically our athletic programs want. And we are essentially professional athletes. And we have to eat a certain way. We have to train a certain way. We have to be at practices. We have to watch film. And that basically being a D1 athlete is a job. And yes, we get paid in terms of our tuition. But that we also have to keep our academics up. And depending upon your major, that could be nearly a full-time job as well. Which means that many, if not most, D1 athletes don't have the time to go out and get a job that paid them. And so there were a lot of D1 college athletes, big time names in basketball and football and other sports, where they were eating, you know, ramen noodles every night or going hungry or only eating when the team would feed them, which has increased, by the way, since this all happened, and couldn't pay rent. And so Nigel Hayes others had a lawsuit. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. And basically the Supreme Court said, look, players should be able to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. But as Barry points out here, Barry Alvarez, it's gotten a bit out of control. I can't remember. I can stand corrected. But I think it was like New Mexico or Nevada, one of those teams out west. They got a sponsorship from a local Dodge Ram dealership, and they gave every scholarship player on their football team a brand new 2024 Dodge Ram 1500. I mean, you're talking $60,000 a piece at least. And their booster club raised the money to give the scholarship players a brand new Dodge Ram. Now, first of all, think about how the walk-on guys felt. Right? The guys who, I mean, they're getting nothing. But also think about, you know, how, you know, Wisconsin's had a premier cross-country and track program, has won countless national championships under Nuttycombe, Coach Nuttycombe. Now, some of those people, men and women, get NIL deals, but certainly not the way that the basketball team does or the football team does. So, it's not perfect. Now, our very own Jimmy Cuska wrote a story. You can find it on civicmedia.com entitled NIL Opportunities for High School Student Athletes in Wisconsin to Be Considered. And this part just floors me. So here is the story from our very own Jimmy Cuska on Civic Media. The Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, WIAA, announced on Tuesday that an amendment to allow name, image, and likeness deals for high school student athletes would be presented to school districts at next month's annual meeting. The NIL deals for high school student athletes are allowed in 33 states, not including Wisconsin, as of the end of 2023, according to data from the National Federation of State High School Associations. The WIAA is placing an amendment before its membership that would affect the rules and eligibility of student athletes, allowing them to make money based on their recognizability. If the amendment is passed, students can take NIL opportunities as long as there's no association with their school, conference, team, or the WIAA. NIL opportunities are also restricted to certain categories. In general, NIL deals have to be age appropriate. So I suppose you couldn't have a 16-year-old athlete endorsing beer, right? Because they're underage to drink beer. The National Federation of High Schools said that when the NIL was approved, it was intended for college student athletes. However, because the laws that apply to NIL are tied to state statute, eligibility for NIL varies from state to state. In the past 2 years, 33 states have passed NIL guidance, including all but one of Wisconsin's border states. How do you feel about this? Should Wisconsin high school kids be able to have an NIL deal? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Dick in Madison. Dick, thanks for calling. What say you?
No, not at all. And to this whole subject, I've been saying this for a few years already. I'm not saying these kids at the collegiate level shouldn't get compensated. You know, they could lose a lot, never get a shot at the pros. Mm-hmm. Many of them don't anyway. But, you know, when Kirst was here as coach, he couldn't have got a classier guy, right?
Right.
I would say that about him.
Absolutely.
And there was rumor, and I tend to believe this about him, that, oh, the game's passed him by. I don't think the game itself had passed him by so much as I think he was just burnt out on this transfer situation, too. You almost have to have a separate coach in charge of that.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all, Dave.
I mean, it's crazy when then you look at our present coach. He's lost two assistants after 1 year, mm-hmm. or is it three?
Yeah, yeah. I've lost track. And part of that,
people, I guess what I'm.
Go ahead.
I guess what I'm saying is people are hopscotching all over. There's going to be no continuity whatsoever to the college athletics. I mean, something's got to be done. I don't know exactly what it is. I wish I did, but. And by the way, that game was awesome, wasn't it?
It was a great game. But, Dick, you bring up a good point. I want to get your reaction quickly on this. Can you imagine? I mean, already with open enrollment in Wisconsin, you have high school coaches poaching star players from adjacent school districts to move into and play for, or with open enrollment, you don't have to move, but to play for a competing school at a conference. Can you imagine now if you add NIL on top of that? That a school that, you know, you could get a local car dealership for a 17-year-old and say, hey, I get you a brand new Mustang if you come over to this school.
Right. And, you know, about a month or so ago when you had John Roach on, he spoke mm-hmm. to this situation with these schools, lavish deals. And who do we go to? John Menard's into racing. Right, he brought up.
Right.
And it's out of control. I don't know what the answer is, but
yeah.
I used to like college football. I'm kind of an oddball. I like it better than pro football personally.
I do too. I'm with you on that. Dick, thanks so much for the call. Have a great weekend. Really appreciate your calls. As always, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Talking about this interview from Barry Alvarez, saying that he's worried name, image, and likeness is going to hurt college sports. And now the WIAA in Wisconsin considering allowing high school players to get paid to play. Back with your phone calls and more on the other side. Just the Title Ball Show for a Friday on Civic Media. We'll be right back.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the Maggie Dawn Show, when she takes over these airwaves every afternoon, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn. Right now we're talking about the NIL, name, image, and likeness. It's legal at the collegiate level. And former athletic director Barry Alvarez speaking out, saying that he thinks it's out of control. And it's going to ruin college football in particular, and maybe all at least of D1, Division I college athletics. Off the text line here, from Jeff from Shorewood? Is that the first one there? Yep, Jeff from Shorewood, listening in on the Shaw, W-A-U-K, in Waukesha, says, Todd, as I've told you, I was a JV hockey player at UW. I had 4 hours a day at the rink for practice. Even at such a low level, it was a huge time commitment. I had several buddies who were actually playing in the football team. They had way greater time commitments, including travel for games. Every player should get some kind of salary, unquote. And I agree with that.
I don't know where I'm at on it, because we have the same thing with musicians in college. If you're going to school for music and you're trying to become a professional musician, is that not comparable, and you spend hours and hours a day practicing and rehearsing?
Sure, but I think that if musicians want to do a name, image, and likeness deal, they can do it. There's nothing to prevent them. I mean, it's all of college.
Fair enough.
So anybody that wants to do a name, image, and likeness deal in college could do it. But I agree with Jeff that I mean, when you get the Sam Deckers and the Frank Kaminskis of the world, and people are selling out stadiums because of those players, I think the players should be able to get something, right? But I also agree with Barry here that there should be some kind of a cap on it, right? I mean, heck, I don't care. I mean, make it $5,000 a month or whatever. But what Barry is saying is there are collegiate players, 18, 19-year-old kids, who are making more money, millions of dollars, in Division I college athletics than they would if they go pro. And I think that's a real problem. So I think I'm all for players getting something, but I think you have to cap it at something reasonable. Mark from the SAC on the Prairie to SAC, or from Prairie to SAC on the Civic line, says, with those vehicles that I talked about, where the football team in, is it New Mexico or Nevada, somewhere out there, got new Dodge Rams. Mark says, would those vehicles be considered income and therefore taxed as such? A great question, Mark. I don't want to say something that's not true. I know that University of Wisconsin, they now employ or pay for tax people and financial people to advise their athletes to make sure they don't get in tax trouble. So the answer is probably it depends on their personal situation, like how much other income they have from NIL deals. But I think it's very possible. Let's go to the phone lines. Dave, listening in on WAUK the Shaw in Waukesha. Dave, thanks for calling. What say you?
Hi, this is just my personal opinion, and I'm not a legal guy, but I think a solution to what we're all talking about here is, well, first and foremost, I think that if someone's old enough to earn the money, whatever way they do it, if they're old enough to, get the money, But I think it should be governed by some sort of council or government agency to oversee it. Possibly put them in trust funds and things of that nature, because obviously they're not going to be mature enough to spend that kind of money, millions of dollars. But hey, if they can earn it, they should get it. You know. And sure. I also think if someone's old enough to drink and someone's old enough to die for the country, they should be able to drink. So
I agree with you on that, Dave. Before I let you go, what's your feelings though on the story on our own civicmedia.com page that the WIAA is considering this for high school athletes? What do you think about that part of it?
Hey, trust funds, things like that.
All right.
If they're old enough to earn it, they're old enough to get some of it.
All right.
I mean, I feel the same way. Obviously, you're not old enough to spend it. I don't believe that. But put it in the bank account. You know, make laws to oversee it.
Appreciate the call. Thank the Dave. Thank you so very much. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Talking about this story on civicmedia.com. NIL opportunities for high school athletes. We have it for college. Should we have it for high school athletes? That's a very interesting question. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines quickly out in Blue River, the old hometown of near it. Listening in on WRCE, Chris in Blue River. Thanks for calling. What say you?
Hi, Todd. This is just becoming nuts. It really, truly is. I mean, I agree that that college athletes should have, you know, should be able to get some of that money that the colleges have been getting for decades for using their images and filling their stadiums. But to take this to the high school level, I think is just, it lacks all common sense. I really, really do.
I appreciate the call, and I don't mean to out you, but I believe you were a longtime educator. Can you imagine the one-star kid in your school getting a brand-new truck and a $10,000 deal, the kind of jealousy that would breed in the high school locally?
It would go beyond jealousy. It's just, and, you know, not to put everybody in the same mold, but, I can't believe, you know, the parental support for these kids would in any way, you know, they'd say, well, you're just his coach. Why should we listen to you? Because we've got college recruiters telling us this and, you know, all that sort of stuff. The teammates don't knew it. You know, if the teammates were any good, they'd be getting a truck too.
Yeah, I totally agree.
No, it's just nuts.
Chris, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We'll be listening to Music with Simon on a Saturday afternoon. Great call there from WRCE, WRCL Richland Center. Let's go to Don in Madison, listening on WMDX here in the capital city. Don, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
Hey, Todd. So a couple of things. They already get paid for the most part. I'm not against paying athletes in college. High school, definitely not, because that's subsidized by taxpayers. And if they want to not have an education that's subsidized by us, then sure, go for it.
But just quickly, to make sure we correct you, the NIL money would not come from taxpayers. That would come from private businesses.
But they're using the facilities at the school.
Okay, fair enough. Fair point. But it's per individual, not for the team. But go ahead.
Sure. But I mean, the tax base for what you pay for your property taxes has gotten way out of control. And basically like in areas like Wanakee, where they have facilities that were better than when I went to college. I mean, by far better than when I went to college for high school. I think that's a little bit much. Also, if they're going to go to college and they're going to get these NIL deals, by using their image and selling out stadiums and whatnot, well, make it so that they can say, hey, I get to choose. I get 4 years of free college, or I get paid, or I get college. Plus, if I drop out after 2 years, then I pay that tuition back.
All right, Don, thanks so much. Really appreciate the call. We're up against the clock. Mr. Zomers, I'm sorry. We've got to wait till the board game of the week on Monday. We'll do that with you. Great show today. Thanks to Trigby Olson, all the callers, Mr. Zomers, for doing yeoman's work on the board, and all of you for listening. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Make it a great weekend across Wisconsin. This is Todd Allbolstein.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here, noon to 2 on Monday. We'll help you recover from daylight saving time and take a look back at the happenings from the weekend right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mino and the Mayor.
You might remember this, Mr. Mayor. It was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Green Bay going down to the city deck. You were in a wagon, and then the bagpiper and me were in front. I said to the bagpiper, "We got to stop right here in this tunnel and play Amazing Grace." And then I see the mayor stand up in the wagon going, "Get it moving! Get it moving!"
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay,
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Congress was once again able to avert a government shutdown.
We will keep important programs.